Get wired here. Thank you. Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Kind of like standing. That's all right. Then I can kind of get mobile. Get mobile. Action going on here. All right. Let me get all my bells and whistles out here real quick. You know, interesting thing is, I'll just start off with this. You know, Jesus emphasized two things before he died and before he gave his life for us. One was love, and another one was the person, the Holy Spirit, right? And you know, the interesting thing is, most of the church is screwing that up. I mean, let's be honest, right? For the love walk is screwed up because we accept every kind of perverted junk all over the place. And then we run from the Holy Spirit like he's the devil. Right? I mean, you see it all over the place. If you talk about any kind about being filled with the Spirit, you know, half the church thinks you're just absolutely nuts. But the amazing thing is, Jesus commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. Isn't that right? So, you know, if we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit, why are we running from it? I like Brother Hagin always said, he's like, you know, there's like washing your feet with your socks on, you know? We were just talking with somebody this week, and I had the same thing. You know, this week we were talking about, and they said, you know, when I read the Bible, I just don't understand it. Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. They're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. You cannot have a revelation, a full revelation of the Bible unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the way God set it up. And you can do whatever you want to it. You can fight it. You can deny it. You can, you know, go to a church that they, you know, shove the Holy Spirit underneath it. But Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, it says that he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he was what? Led by the Spirit. He was baptized in water. John the Baptist baptized him in water, and then it says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. It means it drove him into the wilderness. And a few weeks ago, you need to listen to the message that I have preached on there too. But you know what? The Holy Spirit sometimes is going to lead you into some areas that's very uncomfortable. And if you come to this church, you're going to be very uncomfortable sometimes, right? I am not the, if you can tell by looking at me, I am not the, I love all of you, but I'm not the typical mamby-pamby pastor that's going to, you know, cry all over you and everything else too. I'm here for you, but I'm here to tell you the truth, and that's my job, right? You know, the amazing thing is, if I did half the stuff, I said this before, if I did half the stuff Jesus did, I'd be in jail right now, right? And you know, when Jesus said there, you know, hey, by the way, you're going to drink my blood and you're going to eat my flesh, and then 70 left, right? Jesus didn't go, guys, sorry, wait, oh, we got these other programs we can get you into. Guys, don't leave. We got the church programs over here. He's like, bless you, brothers, sisters, right? He didn't go after them, did he? Because it's truth. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, you're all going to eat, drink my blood, eat my flesh, okay? That's just for Jesus, okay? There's just some things that he did, right? What if I went into the temple and started overturning tables of the money changers, right? Well, we're going to see the money changers being overturned here pretty soon, aren't we?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Because there's three things that I prophesied years ago, about 10 or 15 years ago, before all the other people. There's some good people online. We definitely agree with, you know, prophetic. I'm not saying that, but there's proof in the pudding, right? So, you know, if somebody's speaking prophetically and nothing's coming to pass, we're like, well, they're really prophet or not, right? But three things that I had spoke. One was going to be Roe versus Wade was going to be overturned. Number two, our government was going to be cleaned out. And number three, the wealth of the wicked would be laid up for the righteous.
Yes.
Those three things, right? Those three things. And I've had people in my face say that I'm nuts. Just wait. We're just going to wait, right? I already got one down. We got two more to go. But I'm telling you what, right now, if you're led by the Holy Spirit on things, you can read the Word, you can absorb the Word, you're going to be changed, right? You can make every kind of excuse. You can join every kind of Bible study and do everything else too, and go with people here, go with people there. But if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you what, right now, I have no idea why I'm even saying this, but it's for somebody. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're just never going to grow and develop the way you should. That's it. And why do all these churches out there say you don't need it, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when Jesus needed it? Hello? What's the first thing he did? In his ministry, when he was the age of a Hebrew age of 30 years old, he went out to his cousin, John the Baptist, and he And Jesus got baptized. He said, John's trying to talk about, no, I'm the one that needs to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, no, it must be fulfilled, right? Jesus said, I've got to have this. And the Holy Spirit came upon him and empowered John, empowered Jesus, excuse me, to go into the wilderness. He defeated the devil and he fasted 40 days and defeated the enemy. Well, the Holy Spirit led him into conflict. Why? To defeat the enemy. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to lead us and do things that are not comfortable because we need to overcome some things. Did I wake up already? Are you bored yet? I'm sorry. I don't take any of it back. I'm kidding. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. My middle name should be Feather. If I was my step-grandfather was Aztec Indian, if I had an Indian name, it would be He Who Ruffles Feathers. I'm convinced of that, right? Amen. He who grindeth on me. King James Version, right? I'm kidding. I love you. And you have to love me because it's the Bible, right? I mean, come on. Nice. Mark chapter, what did I say, 16, verse 17 and 18. So, you know, I want to, while you're turning there, I want to mention a couple other scriptures. 1 Peter 2, 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, thereby you may grow thereby. There is a, we need to have the word, which is going to grow us and develop us. But I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but let's read Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. It says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak with new tongues. Oh! Oh, we said it. It's out there. Speak with new tongues, right? Whoopsie-daisy. We don't want to talk about that one. No, we do. And they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, you know, there are crazy people out there who handle snakes, and they're drinking poison, and they're testing God. They are nuts. Okay? We're not going to do that, but it says, if you drink anything, and if you, right? If you get bit by a serpent, and if these things happen to you, God is going to step in, and he's going to help you. Talking to somebody a while back, we were a few years back, and he was, you know, it's funny how people will say things to us or say things, and anybody else would be mad and just spitting mad as a hornet. But he was laughing. He's like, yeah, you guys got snakes over there and cages in your snakes. I said, yep, you can come see them anytime. I said, no, we don't have snakes. But again, what's the focus here? It's wherever the Lord leads us, he's going to provide and he's going to protect us, right? There's actually an anointing on us as believers. You know, so it says here, in my name, these shall cast out devils. That's what I focus on tonight is my name. Whose name is it? Jesus. The name of Jesus is powerful. You know, that's why the enemy doesn't want you to say the name of Jesus. That's why everybody will talk about God and everything, but the real power is in Jesus. We talked about it last week about prayer. Anytime we get in prayer, we say the name of Jesus, right? Because Jesus' blood and the atonement, he gives us access into the throne. So that's how we can access the Father God is through Jesus. He's the avenue. Well, he said, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life, right? You know, truth is not just a concept, but it's a person. I tell you that. Everybody's like, well, that's the truth. No, those may be facts and information, but truth is a person. It's not, if it doesn't come from Jesus and it's manifest from Jesus, it's not truth. I'd say that. That may be your opinion. That may be, there's factual information, things that have happened, but truth is a person. And truth only comes from the throne. And truth only comes from the word. That's it. Everything else is just information. He is the life. He says, I am the way. The way to what? To the Father, right? He's the gateway to the Father. He is the way, the truth. So he is the person. We see there in John 1, 1, you can read it yourself later. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh and eventually dwelt among us, right? It's a person. Actually, John 1:1 is the actual first scripture of the Bible because it defines God in the beginning. Let's turn there. We'll just humor me for a second. It's okay. We'll come back, maybe, if I get back. The days are coming. We don't have time to play games, right? We don't have time to play tiddlywinks. We just don't have time anymore. The days are short. We just don't have time to, you know, play patty cake. We're going to have a little thing over here. I have nothing against, you know, potlucks. I love showing up. Great food and everything. But my life is not about a potluck. It says, John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. The Word, the truth, right? The Word is a person. So we see Jesus said there, I am the way, which is access to the Father. I am the truth, which again, there's no truth besides Him and the life. So He's all life generates from Him. All right, let's go back to where we're at there before. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. So again, and these signs shall follow them that believe. You ever notice here, if we stop here for a minute, it just says believers. We got believers in here, right? You know, it doesn't talk about you trying to become a believer, right? You're just a believer. And it says signs and wonders will follow. It doesn't talk about, well, you got to build up your faith. You got to do all this other stuff. If you want to see me with God, it's like this. There we go. Right? Because if God's living in me and he's upon me, then we're containers already. Right? I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. See, the world and the system and a lot of the churches out there, they're trying to tell you something else. Well, you're just an old dirty sinner saved by grace. Well, that may have been true, but now the Bible says that I am now the redeemed, the righteous. I'm positioned in a place now. I don't have to live like that anymore. See, that's what we call sin consciousness. What that means is you're more aware of your sin nature and the evil part of you and that's our whole struggle here, again, during this walk while we're over here before we step over with Jesus, is the devil is trying to beat you down to try to get you to think that you're less than what you really are. And then you got fake news devil coming over here, right? Fake news. That's what the devil is, just a bunch of fake news, right? Fake news. Fake news. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Now, granted, you realize everything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, none of these people were saved yet. Nobody was born again until the very end of Luke. If you read the book of Luke and you read, then it flows, because the same author, Luke and Acts, it flows really nicely together. So remember that. If you ever get into study, read Luke, and then it flows, dovetails just perfect into the book of Acts. It'll make more sense that way. But while the disciples are going, these people weren't born again. So they didn't have the power of God living in them yet. They didn't have Jesus in their hearts yet. Jesus was walking on the outside of them everywhere they went. And it says here that this is where the 70 go out, and Jesus sent the 70 out, and it says the 70 return with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through what? Your name. The devils were beaten up, or I'm sorry, the disciples were beating up on the devils, and they were using what? The name of Jesus. They were able to use the name of Jesus then, and demons were now, they weren't even born again. They didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. They weren't able to contain it. And here they're using the name of Jesus. That name is powerful. You know, if disciples can use the name of Jesus and cast out devils and they're not even born again, not even baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, if they can, where does that leave us at? We should be able to do that, right? With God living in us and upon us. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to get into some stuff here. I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 16, 16, but I'm going to mess with you just for a minute if I haven't already. That's okay? Pastor ruffles feathers. I like that. I'm going to keep that. Yeah. I'm going to, yeah. Yeah, I just need a... Totally politically incorrect, isn't it? I mean, it's just, I'm not very politically correct, I'm sorry, but I need a big old Chiefs hat and everything, and, you know, Pastor Ruffles feathers. That's me. Howl. 16:16. Now, this is interesting here, and this is something I want... Oh, this is very... This is the Apostle Paul, and he's going around, and there's this gal that has a spirit on her, okay? At this point, she keeps saying these things. Now, I want to read this to you real quick. And this is interesting because it says, and verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So what this gal would do, there was a spirit, and she would go soothsay or tell people different things, and they would give her money, and basically they were making money off of this gal. Okay, here we go. Verse 17, the same followed Paul. So this gal followed Paul, and she cried, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation." Okay, now why is that wrong? Why is that wrong? There's nothing wrong with that statement, right? Because she's absolutely true. I mean, she's absolutely right. I'm going to just say this. Most Christians here and ministers, especially most churches, are going to go, "Oh, that's so nice. She's such a blessing. Oh, she's so great." Well, Paul smelled a rat, right? Because basically, you know, let me just say this. When you're around people and they're speaking the word, they're teaching the Bible or something, or they're saying something. You ever just been around people? They're saying the right thing, but just something doesn't click right. You ever been around those people before where they're going through the right actions? I've had people before where they've come to church here. I've been to other churches before, and they just come up and, "Oh, brother, this," and they're just going off on the inside. I'm just like, there's something off with this person, right? Well, then it goes on. It says in Paul, verse 18, "And this did she many days." So she kept doing this. She kept doing this over and over. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And he came out the same hour. Why am I bringing this up? I was like, what's out there doing? Number one, he used the name of Jesus to cast out. And number two, the Apostle Paul was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says there in Corinthians that he spoke in tongues more than you all, right? So we're somebody that had baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do we, because this woman is saying the right things. Let me say this, and I think many of us lack in this area. It's called discernment. And the Holy Spirit's going to give you discernment and kind of give you a red flag on the inside. I've been around people before, and then I don't even have to do anything. I just know on the inside, Adrian will have something about people, and they're like, there's just something not right about them. But you know, they're saying the right thing. They're going through the motions, right? They're whatever. The Holy Spirit is going to give you discernment about people. I remember Adrian, years ago, our other church, there was a gal that kept coming to, you know, this church we were in years ago. She kept coming to minister to get counseling, you know. Well, Adrian had a dream about it. Was it a dream?
Yeah, I had a dream.
Had a dream. She had a dream about it. She was working, so she was there on staff, and she told the pastor, she's like, "There's just something wrong about this. I had a dream, you know, there's just something wrong about it." And what he do had going to give her to his wife, right, to talk
yeah,
to her.
He said, "I'm going to have you go to my wife now, not me." And then she didn't want anything.
Yeah, she didn't want to come back. So again, we weren't wanting help. We were wanting attention, right? We were wanting male attention, and so there wasn't any kind of pure motives on it. Well, it looks innocent, right? But if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I mean, how... We got kids in here, right? Don't you want to have some discernment with your kids? I mean, especially have friends or maybe they have, you know, they get older and especially, you know, they start dating or later on down the road and they you know, they get, you know, getting... You want to have discernment on those things because you can have people that they look and say the part, but on the inside, I can't tell somebody's heart. I can't say, they're going to go to hell. I mean, we can see, obviously, they're not doing godly actions. Then, you know, But I can't tell their heart, but the Holy Spirit does. Mm-hmm. And I've had people where before I'm like, that sounds kind of weird. And then when I get to know them, I'm like, okay, they're, you know, the Lord deals with me about some things. But the point is, in these end times, we need to have some discernment. I'm telling you what right now, because, and I'm going to say this, okay? I'm going to say, he's a whack job. No, I am Pastor Ruffles, thou feathers. Amen. But anyway, I'm just saying, I believe in the days to come, we're going to see some things that you're like, oh, I thought that person was on the up and up, and they weren't. Right? And I know it doesn't look like by our size, but I've been around ministers before who have, I've been around people that are on TV, and some people just aren't what you think. And the things that your rumors you're hearing right now, I've heard 10 plus years ago. And it's going to come out. It's going to come out, right? But you know what? Here's the thing. One thing that you need to understand, embrace, is whatever things are going to happen in the future, love God. Amen. Don't look at people, all right? What the temptation is, you're going to look at people and say, well, they fell. I remember a guy, Jimmy Swaggart, right? You hear the name, right? In the 80s, when he fell, I thought, oh my goodness, what's this going to be, you know, and everything. Well, and I became good friends with his praise and worship leader later on, right? He and I installed some PA systems together, and we went to lunch for a few times, and he would tell me stories. But you know what? When I was a kid, I thought, man, if Jimmy Swaggart can fall, and Jim Baker, and all these people, what's that leave me? But you know what? I thought, God, I'm going to hang on to you like nothing, like never before. I'm going to hang on to you. I'm going to serve you. And if the Bible says in the end times, the most elite will fall. And I mean, you still watch, like I've, you know, Jimmy Swaggart's still on TV. He's still anointed. You know, he may have fallen, but you know, I think people make mistakes and maybe they're sincere. I don't know. I'm not God. I'm not judging people here. But what I am saying is this, no matter what happens, no matter what comes down the pipeline, remember, we love Jesus. And we don't worship people, right? Just get your heart positioned, because what's going to happen, a lot of people are going to go, the church and everything else. No, 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 no. People are imperfect, but God's not. Jesus is perfect, but people are not. Apostle Paul said, follow me, what? As I follow Christ, not worship me because of my position or because I have a TV ministry, I have this or I have that. I'm preaching pretty good, right? I am. I'm kidding. I take nothing serious a lot, okay? You got to understand that. I just don't care. You did. You know, you noticed, right? All right. You got a visiting pastor today. So anyway, anyway, where was that? Anyway, I'm at church. That's where I'm at. That's right. That's where I'm at. Hallelujah. Let's turn back here, too. I'm just having a ball tonight. Amen. I love Brother Higgins' stories. You know, he's got some great stories in there. But, you know, Where should we go next? So again, you know, we're going to do all of this stuff in the name of Jesus. I love verse 18 there in Mark chapter 16, and it says, they shall lay hands on the sick, and what? They shall recover. See, we're trying to get God to do too much stuff. Guys, remember, there's a God part and there's a man part. What happens is we get too much of a mess. We try to do God's job instead of doing our job, right? We're gonna get him healed. Well, you're not gonna get anybody healed. You can't do anything. What are you supposed to do? Lay hands on him. I can't heal anybody, can you? I mean, I'm scared to go to the hospital about half the time anymore. It's like, right? I don't even want to start on that, so I'm moving on. But now, remember here, it says, and Jesus said here, it says, it doesn't say if they have enough faith, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe in what? In my name they shall, and then it goes on again, right? John 14, 14, I love the scripture. Love the scripture here. And it says, If we shall ask anything, Jesus talking in my name, what was it? I may do it. I might get around to it. I'll think about it. You got to ball and squall to get it. No. It says, I'll do it. Ask me and I'll do it. Brother Hagin, I remember telling a story one time about this lady had a, she took 12 ladies with her to the insane asylum. Her daughter was there. And, you know, she'd been there for years and she got a hold of this. And she went, she says, I want to see my daughter. And they wouldn't let her see her. They're like, no, she's absolutely crazy. She'll try to attack you and everything. Well, she just said the name of Jesus. And it's like she just woke up out of a daze, you know. Guess what? I'm going to let you out on a secret. God's more powerful than the devil. I know that's a shock to some people's system, right? Because, you know, they're always like, well, the devil here yet, right? And can I, and I've said this before, we lost our other facility before we came here. Well, actually, they shut it down because of COVID. I'd have kept going and held church services, and maybe it would have been Adrian and I, but God is bigger than COVID. Right. I hate to tell you this, right? And everybody's cowing down to COVID and all this and that and everything else too. And it's like, are we going to believe the Bible or not? I mean, are we just faking things here? I don't understand. I don't understand. And then, you know, we had no choice. I had to broadcast from home, but we had no place to go, right? I mean, we'd have been all over the 6 o'clock news having services and everything here with everybody. I mean, it'd have been like, oh my gosh, you know. We'd have been on, you know, every fake news organization you can find. I mean, this guy's nuts. It's just, oh, I'm supposed to bow down to COVID, bow down to the government, bow down to every other Fauci, every other Smurf out there. We're gonna bow down to the midget. No, we're not going to, are we? I didn't have a choice. We didn't have a choice because we lost our place. So it wasn't like I'm hiding. No, that'd have been really great because the whole point is there, believe it or not, there's other churches out there, and I know people they're trying to get into lawsuits to go to the Supreme Court on things. So it's like they'll send, I know people, they will record themselves and say things, and they'll send the message to the IRS and say, please sue me. Because we want to get into a legal fight with them because they're wrong. Right? So the point is, Jesus is more important. I'm more interested in Jesus than I am the government or COVID or employers or anything else. Right? And anybody, I'm going to say this, but anybody try to put anything in your body, it's called, without your consent, it's called rape. Hello. Pastor, ruffle my feathers. Here we go, right? But is it or isn't it? But we all have the vibes of it's you know, we're, you know, it's for your safety, the health and this and that and everything else too. I have one Lord and his name is Jesus. Amen. People don't like that. People don't like it. I mean, if you don't get on the bandwagon and go with the zone here, you know, we don't go back to 1984, Orson Welles mentality, then you know, you're just out of loop. Well, again, it's wonderful. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And we're going to focus on Jesus. Amen. Do what he says. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. I love you. You know that, don't you? I really love all of you here. Amen. How many pastors are preaching like me around here? I wonder. I wonder. Yeah. Yeah. At least you see the pastors who avoid us now. It's wonderful. I love it. Because then I know exactly where they stand. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they can just take a flying leap. Amen? Because we're going to do the right thing. I'm not going to cower down to what's popular because people think so. And I'm just telling you, the reason why I'm standing such a strong ground is because in the days to come, people want the real thing. Okay? Like, we don't need flakes anymore. We don't need people who are cowards. We need voices, not echoes of everything else that's going on. We're going to, you know, lick the wind and see where else is, which way the wind's blowing. It's called the spirit of politics, or the party spirit the Bible talks about. We're not part of that. So, John chapter 16, verse 23, and it says, "In that day you shall ask me nothing. Truly I say unto you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. If you ask nothing in my name, ask that you receive, that your joy may be full." The reason it's very important is because we talked about it last week. If you weren't here, I touched on it. But prayer is not the same thing, right? You ever notice, like, every major event that happens, we talked about it last week, like 9/11 that happened, okay, the Twin Towers and all that other, everything else that happened. You know, what everybody say, well, thoughts and prayers. Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't need to use the name of Jesus in your prayer, we're not praying the same way. We're just not. Christians pray in Jesus' name because Jesus is the fulfillment of Hebrew prophecy. He is the Messiah. Christianity is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. He is the one that was going to come. He is the one that came to redeem us. Abraham is the father of our faith. Yes. And we have all of these great patriarchs in the Old Testament, but Jesus, all of them pointing to Jesus. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, is all about people who are standing in the gap, waiting for the promise, which is Jesus, died, never saw the fulfillment. We are living in an amazing time right now. We really are, right? I believe we're going to see freedom from this oppressive world system, this Babylonian, demonic, satanic system. We are breaking loose. I know more about the financial system than I care to know about. And it is satanic. It is demonic. I was in banking for years. I'm finance now. You know? It's just, I'm telling you what, it is satanic all over the place. Now, it doesn't mean money's bad. It doesn't mean these things are bad, but it's the system is so corrupt. We need to break loose. We've got to have breaking loose. And the only one that can do it is God, right? And he told us in the Bible, the wealth of the wicked would be laid up for the righteous. Hallelujah. This is not a gloom and doom. This is freedom. Because Jesus is the one, the Father is the one that can break us loose here. Amen? And it doesn't matter if we still stay in the slavery system, it's still better to serve God than to be in the world system. It always is. It always multiple places. I love his brother Hagin. He says, "I am convinced that if people would quit praying repeatedly about some of the things they pray about and began thanking God for the answer would come right away. But they keep on praying in what? Unbelief. They pray in unbelief." I love the Smith Wigglesworth here. Smith Wigglesworth once said, "There is something about believing God that will cause him to pass over a million people to get to you." You know, we have seen over this last, you know, Adrian touched on it, the last 2 years, the whole COVID junk and everything, and it's just all been one little lazy river flowing in the same direction. And then if you decide to go any direction or have anything or stand on the word at all, even the church, you're attacked for it. we were watching, I love watching kids' games, right? I love watching like basketball and, you know, the little kids. And Emily is, you know, playing volleyball. It was really funny today and watch them. And, you know, they're out there. Kids are out there doing things. And you got some that are like this,
yeah.
You know, playing volleyball. They're like the whole time. And then it comes to them. It bounces off their chest. And after it bounces off their chest, then they go. Right? Or I've seen a couple of the girls, the ball will be over here, and then they look, and then the ball bounces over here, and then it comes, and it bounces off their shoulder, and they're like, it's like, thanks for coming today, guys. Hey there. Yeah, have we landed yet? I mean, are you on the planet here, or what's going on, right? And then you got kids that are just so jacked out all the time. You're like, what is going on here, you know? You know, when I played sports, I always watched the ball, where it was going, because I didn't want to get hit with it, you know, or whatever. But, you know, it seems like that's the way the church is. You know, it's like everybody shows up. We would get so mad. I had a catcher. I played shortstop. I played for Ottumwa. And our catcher would just, if you're familiar with baseball, you know, they can steal bases and things like that. And somebody would be taking off stealing base, and I'd be waiting for the ball, and it would be thrown like 15 feet over my head, and I would just put my hands like this and just watch it go over my head. You know? Or we'd have, you know, people on my team, they'd have balls go through their legs or anything else, you know, once in a while when I was younger. The point is, we're a team as a church, right? And we don't have time anymore for things like unfaithfulness. We don't have time anymore for being checked out. We don't have time. Because what happens is it affects the entire team.
Yeah.
Right? And this isn't, he's talking about the shepherd movement, or, you know, this sounds occultic or something. No, I want everybody to get to heaven. Hello? I want you to be blessed. I want you to experience things, right? Because the Bible talks about, you know, we bear one another's burdens. But you know what? When you're so blessed and you're walking with God and things are going, it'll spill out on other people, right? Hello? That's what we need. We need people to stand up in the face of tyranny. We need people to stand up in the face of the devil. We need, you know, not be afraid of our testimony. I mean, you should. One of the craziest things people say about me, it does not affect me once. You should hear the garbage people said about Kenneth Hagin and stuff. It's like, you know what? You just, if it's the word and it's truth, I'm going to stick with the truth, right? And it's not my opinion. It's just simply, I'm just plagiarizing what the Bible says. That's it. I'm just reading it, right? I don't do anything. I mean, Jesus said, if you'll speak to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says, shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you saith. There's a release from our words. But we're all cowering down. The whole COVID thing just completely just grinded on me the whole time, because I'm thinking, why are we hiding here when we have the power of God living in us? I'd go places that I wouldn't have a mask on. Sir, you need your mask on. Why? I mean, give me a break, right? We got kicked out of establishments and people get mad at us and stuff. And it's like, I'm not wearing that diaper on my face, all right? God lives in me. I'm not worried about this thing at all. I don't care. Because I really believe God. That's it. No matter where I go, he's with me. I don't need a mask to protect myself. Now, if that's something you prefer, then do it. I'm all into freedom. I'm all about, you know, your own convictions. That's fine. But are we going to serve God in these end times? Yes, we are. And I'll just say this too, because I'm all over the place tonight. I'm sorry, guys. But, you know, in these end times, you know, we may see some things that are crazy and everything else too. Just remember that God is good. And no one is going to shake my faith from God. Amen?
Amen?
When people fall, when they disappoint you, because guess what? When you walk with God enough, there's going to be people that disappoint you, right? I've had people disappoint me, but guess what? I don't give up on people. Just because I've had people that have, you know, gone off there, they're going to live in the world now, and they're going to live like pigs. Okay, well, we love you. We hate to see you do that, but my world doesn't end because their world ends. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And I have the joy of the Lord, and nothing is going to defeat me. The enemy can't defeat me. I was just Pastor Hagen there when I was at Rhema. He said this all the time. I cannot be defeated. I will not quit, and I will not cannot be defeated. Right? We just keep putting one foot in front of the other one for God. And yes, there's going to be people that go. But you know, the amazing thing is the religious people, they eventually come around and they say, "Will you pray for me?" Yeah. Or, "What? Okay, yeah, I'm happy to." Right? We have family members and people all around, and they just like, you know, oh, they're getting around family. Oh, they're just crazy. They're just crazy. All of a sudden, we get a phone call. You know, something happens. "You guys pray for us. We need help." We're going to pray. Amen. Amen. Father, we just come before you tonight. I thank you for these precious people, Lord Jesus, tonight. In the name of Jesus. You know, tonight, if you are not, and I just, as we close here, if you're not born again, you don't know Jesus, nobody looking around, I want you to raise your hand tonight. You need to accept Christ. That's the first thing. What it is, it means you're making him the Lord of your life. It means he calls the shots. You know, a lot of people want to be saved, but they don't want Jesus to be Lord. There's a big difference there. Or you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment. Because when we're saved, it means that our new nature has changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're now a new creature. Jesus makes us new on the inside. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it says here in Acts, that is empowered to do his work. We are empowered to do things. To see the word in a new light. To do these things. If that's you, if you never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need to do it tonight. I mean, it's your choice. We don't manipulate people to do anything, but it's a fulfillment of what God says in the word, and it's a power. Amen. Everybody who's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, say amen if that's you, and it'll change your life. Amen. It has. Hallelujah. If that's you, just raise your hand. We'll come up. We'll pray for you afterwards. Amen. We want to be a blessing to people and help people out. I spent when I was a kid until, you know, I went off to college, I always wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it just seemed like it was so hard, and there's no teaching on it in my church. Like, some people spoke in tongues, but nobody knew how to get it, and it just seemed really hard, but it's the easiest thing in the world. Absolutely easy. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this time together, Lord God. We say in your name, we have victory. Amen. In your name, demons must flee. In your name, healing has got to manifest. In your name, we give you glory and honor for everything. And we thank you in your name that you are the gateway to the Father, and you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that your spirit rests on all of us, and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Prayer Wednesday night. Amen. I am excited for prayer. It's been powerful. Be there or be square. Amen.